You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Messi.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome to the midweek edition of The Punt Podcast here at William Hill. Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair, joined on the line by Derek McGovern. Good morning, Mr. McGovern.
Good morning, Alex. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Andy XL will be joining us. Not just yet. We're saving him for the second half of the podcast. Squad rotation, isn't it, Derek? You've got to do it at this stage of the season.
Well, it'll be, if we get Sven to give the verdict on the podcast, it'll go, good first half, not so good second half.
Quite possibly. It's not for me to comment, to be honest. We've had a very interesting weekend of Premier League football. Obviously, Sunday was hyped up to the max. Did Derby Day do it for you, Derek?
Well, the Merseyside derby did, in a way. I mean, it wasn't the greatest game ever, but I had an allegiance, obviously, so I was gripped. But the Manchester derby, I thought, was a letdown. The only interesting thing was what happened afterwards, by all accounts, in the dressing room. And Man United just didn't turn up. The easiest 2-1 win you're ever going to see by Manchester City, I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was one of those games, it was intriguing, and you couldn't not watch it. But at the same time, halfway through the second half, I did think, God, I wish Liverpool-Everton was back on. Because at least that was a bit more frantic, if you like, wasn't it?
Yeah, a bit of blood and thunder in that one, or sudden blunder in Liverpool's defence. And the Manchester game, it lacked the atmosphere for the derby, didn't it? No, it was just almost like an exhibition game. And I'll tell you what, if you're a Man United fan now, the biggest mystery on earth, by the way, is how United is still in second place, because that is one ordinary side. But if you're a Man United fan, after the years of Cavalier Fergie, you can't be happy with what you're watching right now. It's absolutely shocking.
Although Man City are, it goes without saying, rather good, aren't they?
Well, they are, yeah. They're a very, very good side. But, you know, Man United got the same result against them as Huddersfield did a few weeks ago. And Huddersfield give City a bigger scare than United did. I mean, and I've seen Huddersfield. I know how bad they are. So that's quite incredible. That tells you, it speaks volumes of United, that. Mm.
And as for what happened afterwards, obviously still sort of news trickling out left, right and centre, but sounds by all accounts a little bit more than handbags, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, we have cameras everywhere, we have informers everywhere. And the things that go on, the bust-ups that go on in dressing rooms or in the dressing room areas after a game, we're never privy to. And I'm just wondering how they can keep... I mean, we heard one or two tales, but we don't know the full extent of it. It sounds a lot more serious than maybe the Arsenal Pizzagate incident when Fergie got as much plastered by, I don't know what it was, some pizza topping. Hopefully more word will come out. But at the moment, we're just guessing.
Yeah, we've gotten this on Monday morning, so we are still sort of trying to find out, but maybe by the time you've listened, you know exactly what's happened. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the United players that threw stuff over Mourinho. Never mind the City team, because some of those United players cannot be happy playing under him, I'm sure of it. And it certainly looked that way in the derby on Sunday.
A rare Sunday off for me yesterday, so I actually got to watch the action properly rather than being at work and having it on in the background. A couple of tweets to point out that I managed to find. One of which was, well, many of which were alluding to the fact that Romelu Lukaku would have probably taken around about 15 times to control Mikel Arteta before managing to hit him. That was number one. And the other one relating to the Merseyside derby was quite simply Allardyce impressively quick to turn Everton's midfield into some kind of human tennis net to smash balls over. he's immediately stamped his authority on that side, hasn't he?
Well, Andy, it's, you know, I was watching that game yesterday, and for 75 minutes, I thought it was going to be the easiest derby win since Shergar's. It was just, I mean, Liverpool never looked in trouble, and it was one of those games that just Everton squeaked a draw, God knows how. I don't think he had stamped his authority. I thought I thought Everton was as bad as I've ever seen Everton. And under him, I favoured him. Just because they get a lucky point doesn't mean all is well.
Okay.
The serious problems at Everton. And, you know, is Allardyce's MO is just, you know, we know him. And he keeps denying it, even though it's clear to everybody. Get the ball well here. I mean, you know, is that what we want in the Premier League in 2017? I don't think so.
Okay. More on Everton a little bit later on. We're going to focus on five games. There's two televised games this midweek in the Premier League, but there is a full fixture list. Three games on Tuesday and the rest are on Wednesday. We start with the televised game on Tuesday, and that's Huddersfield against Chelsea. This one at 8 o'clock. Huddersfield are 17-2 as we record this. The draw is 4-1 and Chelsea are 4-11. Chelsea, of course, coming here off the back of that loss at West Ham, and all does not appear well at Stamford Bridge. And they were pretty poor as well at the weekend. Big win for Huddersfield against Brighton, and they do have a really good home record, including beating Manchester United earlier this season. They need it, though, because away from home, then they're really not picking up points, and their form looked pretty dire, actually, on the face of it, prior to that Brighton win.
Well, I'm wondering what it is they do at home, because I've seen them away a couple of times, and they're absolutely shocking. And I keep telling everybody how bad they are, and at home, they keep on winning. I'm surprised anybody listens to me anymore. It's just incredible. You mentioned that they beat Man United, one of those, you know, shock results of the season. But interestingly, they've lost 3-0 against Liverpool, 4-0 against Tottenham, 5-0 against Arsenal. They even managed to lose 2-0 against Everton. So, you know, this is not a good side. You know, whether it's the big teams go there and they don't fancy it in Huddersfield on a cold Tuesday night or whatever, the age-old saying, but I don't think that applies now. These are Premier League footballers who played everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't think it should matter to them going to Huddersfield on a Tuesday night, no matter what the temperature is. Chelsea were poor against West Ham, and you mentioned that things don't seem right at Chelsea, but we said the same when they're having that rocky spell earlier in the season, and they came back and won about the next five or six. So maybe every Chelsea blip is we overreact to. I'm just thinking of 4-11 here. It's not a working man's price, is it? 4-11 away from home in the Premier League, but it's an absolute, in my eyes, it's an absolute certainty. 4-11. What can you do? How can you get a shade of value there? Well, Huddersfield, I'm not sure they're going to be going to get the ball often enough to trouble Chelsea. So I'm going to go for Chelsea minus a goal, just under the even money mark, 10-11.
Okay, plenty of betting, of course, available on the William Hill website. I'm sure there'll be plenty of enhanced odds offers on there as well as we build up to the game. But Chelsea just seem hard to get away from in that clash against Huddersfield. But of course, we mentioned rotation a little bit in jest earlier on, but wouldn't surprise you at all to see plenty of changes, possibly for both sides. But the thing is, Chelsea's squad, for all it isn't the biggest, they do have that core of 16 or 17 players that have been pretty interchangeable so far this season.
Yeah. And you actually never know when you watch Chelsea coming on the TV and you're thinking, I wonder what lineup he's playing here. And you could never name the Chelsea first 11. Mm. You know, Hazard obviously would be in it. But, you know, there's about four or five players, six or more than that, who seem to rotate. Whether the rotation thing is a good idea, I mean, it seems to have crept into the game over the last 10 years. But you look at what Liverpool did at the weekend, resting Coutinho and Firmino and putting in Solanke and Oxlade-Chamberlain for a game against their biggest rivals, which a lot of fans are not happy with Jurgen Klopp about. And sometimes, you know, I think, Alex, that these managers, they've got the game sussed, because if they pick the side that everybody would pick, you and I would pick, someone in the boardroom would say, well, why are we paying them, like, you know, £6 million a year? Let's get Jimmy in the street to do it. So they mess around with all these tactics and, you know, rotations to show how clever they are. I mean, you know, I'm beginning to suspect that, because the team sheet Jurgen Klopp named on Sunday almost defied belief for me.
Okay. But with Chelsea and Chelsea minus a goal in the televised game on Tuesday evening. We'll move to Wednesday evening's televised game before we head back to Tuesday's action. West Ham Arsenal is on Wednesday night, an 8 o'clock kickoff for this one. West Ham are 9-2, the draw 16-5, and Arsenal are 8-13. It was finally a win for Mr. Moyes in charge of West Ham when they beat Chelsea at the weekend, and they were pretty good in doing so. Arsenal won this game 5-1 last year. And I've got a stat for you here as well, Derek, and I've got this off my own back. I've not been spoon-fed this at all. Dave Kellner doesn't do this. In the Olympic Stadium, it might be wrong, it's just off my own back. In the Olympic Stadium, West Ham have won 10 league games, and all of them have been to nil. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
That is incredible.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Because the home record isn't great, but basically you can just say, if they're keeping a clean sheet, or if they are winning, they're not conceding.
Yeah. Well, it's something for punters to look at. Yeah. I suppose under David Moyes, if that record would probably continue the games they win, because first of all, he shuts up shop at the back. They were excellent at the weekend. I've no idea where that performance came from, because they'd been shocking, you know, for most of the season before then. And I didn't think the appointment to David Moyes was going to do anything for them. See earlier podcast for that. but they were fantastic. And Arsenal, Jesus. The only good news for Arsenal these days is they're not Spurs, I think. I mean, they've lost 5 Premier League games with December barely halfway through, and that takes some doing, even if you're Swansea. I mean, I struggle to... But yeah, I've spoken to a few pessimistic Arsenal fans. They always see their glass half empty and their trophy room the same way, by the way. And they just can't see things getting any better under Wenger. And I tend to agree with them. You know, they'll have a couple of games where you think, yeah, that's the Arsenal of old. They look great. And then, you know, they'll throw in howler of performances, and I could see one coming here. I can see, West Ham are going into this game on an absolute high. Arsenal could easily have lost at Southampton on Sunday. I think West Ham at 9-2 are actually worth a bet, and I didn't think I'd say that with David Moyes in charge. Mm. But I've got to hand it to him. What the improvement he gleaned from his players over the weekend was absolutely incredible. 9-2 is just too big against an Arsenal side that are so beatable.
It's interesting because Andy Carroll always seems to cause Arsenal problems, and of course he's not been in the team of late. West Ham have almost been playing without a recognised striker, and it worked against Chelsea. But would you be inclined to maybe change that if you were David Moyes? And let's face it, it's old and a bit cliched, but Arsenal are there to be bullied, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Whether Andy Carroll is a man, it's a moot point, because I'm not a Carroll fan. I mean, when Liverpool bought him for $35 million, I was praying that they'd kept the receipts, because I knew what a limited player he was. I've said on this podcast a few times, and I hope he doesn't listen, that if he was 6 inches shorter, he'd be a bin man. I just don't see him as a Premier League footballer at no pace. He just does nothing for me. But some defenders seem scared of him. I heard Jamie Carragher on the TV a few weeks ago saying that what a handful he can be, even when Liverpool played against him. I don't see that. But yeah, Arsenal are there to be bullied, and you know, Southampton gave them a going over on Sunday. Mm. It was a very, very weak Arsenal performance, and that followed that Man United game when, okay, they were supposed to have been the better team, and they probably were, but they lost comfortably in the end. Something seriously wrong at Arsenal, and again, the manager keeps getting away with it, keeps getting the easy ride. It defies belief.
So you're siding with West Ham?
2 right, 9-2. After the team has just beaten Chelsea and beaten them convincingly. Mm. Why not?
Okay. West Ham looking for their first home win over Arsenal since 2006, when they won 1-0 and Marlon Harewood got a last-minute winner. We'll head back to Tuesday's action now then, and we're going to focus on one of the other games on Tuesday. That's Palace against Watford, an 8 o'clock kickoff this one. And this is a really, really intriguing game, because you've got two sides who, on their day, can be pretty decent. I know Palace are rooted to the bottom of the table, but they're unbeaten in 5 now, Palace. I know they've drawn most of those, and they've only lost one of the last 7. They're 5-4 favourites here. The draw is 12-5, and Watford are 23-10. Watford are a side who typically I can't get right anyway, Derek, and just as I thought, oh, I might have them right here, they've gone on and their worst run of form of the season. But still, that 23-10, moderately tempting for me.
It is, yeah. I'm licking my lips over it. I mean, you know, at Palace, after what happened with the Benteke thing, optimism is in very short supply.
How can that happen, Derek?
Well, it shouldn't happen. And, you know, I think any sort of manager worth his salt, which doesn't include Roy Hodgson, would take serious action over that, because that's a result that could well send Palace down. You know, that's 2 points dropped. No one's saying that the other penalty taker would have definitely scored it, but he'd have given it a better fist than Benteke did. And I just wonder what that man gives to any side. He's been bombed out of everywhere he's gone. And the fact that he's an international for the team that's ranked in the top 6, I think, Belgium, in the world, is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. Then again, Andy Carroll got caps for England, so, you know, where does that leave you? I think Watford are good things here. I know they're not getting a result at the moment, but There's not a team in the top flight that's impressed me more than Watford this season when I've seen them. I'm not saying I've seen them every week, but I've seen them on a number of occasions. And I'm thinking, that's a tidy side, that. The manager's done wonders there. And okay, you know, they lost at Burnley at the weekend, but that's no disgrace given the way Burnley are playing. They held Tottenham to a draw before that. Could easily have beaten Chelsea a few weeks ago. Give Man United a good run. You know, the results aren't going their way, but their performances are holding up. And you can't say that against Palace. I always think Palace are opposable at home anyway. They're always short prices. And they're a team, in my eyes, that are ready made to play away from home rather than at home. I think Watford are the better of the midweek, I think.
Okay. Watford, who've already won more points and scored the same number of goals this season in their 8 away games than they did in the entire 2016-17 season, coming up against a Palace side who lost the most Premier League games in 2016 and are on course to do the same in 2017. They lost 22 games in 2016. They've lost 20 so far in 2017. The fact that they haven't been relegated yet, actually, is almost commendable, Derek.
It is. But let's put them out of our misery this season, please.
Watford then at 23-10, the selection for Derek in that one. Two more games to come then, and they're both on Wednesday night, non-televised. We start at St James's Park with Newcastle against Everton. Newcastle 7-5, the draw 23-10, and Everton are 21-10. For all that you said that Allardyce may not have completely stamped his authority on that Everton side just yet, Rafa Benitez is currently having a bit of difficulty putting his stamp on the Newcastle side. They've been really poor in the last month or so. Two very different managerial situations, two very different moods about both clubs. Everton, who have already been through the bleak despair, and Newcastle, who appear to be just entering it. I sort of don't want to back Newcastle at 7-5. I don't particularly want to back Everton at 21-10. Is the draw a play here?
Yeah, it is. Firstly, you don't back Everton. I mean, they've won two and drawn one of the last three, I think. But they're not fooling anybody. I was staggered by their performance in the derby. I'm not complaining about the defender that, you know, three banks of four Allardyce would have sent out if it was allowed. But it was just the poverty of their performance, the inability to hold possession. It was shocking. And I've spoken to Everton fans after the game, and, you know, delighted though they were about getting the points, they were absolutely distraught about the way their side played, seriously. And they're there for the taking. Mm. Whether Newcastle can take them is another matter. More interesting than the match to me is what goes on the sidelines, because there's no love lost between Rafa Benitez and Sam Allardyce. I think Benitez has always had Allardyce down as a Fergie acolyte, which wouldn't have gone down well with him. Newcastle, I don't know what to think about them. With Rafa in charge, I'm always prepared to give them the benefit of the doubt. But the more I see of them, the more I think how limited they are. They just haven't got the players to do anything this season. And unless they strengthen in January, it's, you know, relegation almost beckons, I think. It's the owner, isn't he? He's made Mike Ashley. He's made millions from the club. And yet he's been struggling to sell it for I don't know how many years. And in the time he's been struggling to sell it, I think Portsmouth have been flogged about 12 times. Mm. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think the only way he could be popular in Newcastle is if he bought Sunderland and took them the same way. This game is impossible from a punting point of view. There isn't a single punter, however bright, that could come on here and say, yeah, this is the bet to have here, because it's an absolute certainty. There's no certainties in this game. Other than the draw, 23-10.
Interesting that Wayne Rooney has scored 14 Premier League goals against Newcastle. That's the most he scored against any opponent, barring West Ham. He's also got 14 against them. But he's 19-10 any time. It's not the most mouth-watering price, is it?
No, it isn't. He's not the player he was, is he, Rooney? I mean, at his best, he should have been a player I despise. He played for Everton and Man United. But I thought he was a sensational player. But those days are long, long gone. I wouldn't be touching him. And also, you saw how deep he played, mind you. The whole Everton team played deep on Sunday. He's not playing he's nowhere near playing as forward as he used to. So no, I wouldn't touch that. You know what? It would be absolutely no surprise this game to see it finish 0-0.
Okay, the draw 23-10 though in the Newcastle Everton clash on Wednesday night. The 0-0 draw 17-2. If you fancy it. The final game that we are going to focus on is Man U against Bournemouth. We've already mentioned Manchester United. They're 2-7 here. The draw is 92 and Bournemouth are 11-1. Man U's home form has been scintillating so far this season. Before the weekend, it was a sea of green when you went through their home wins so far this season. Bournemouth are unbeaten in four away from home in the league. Jermaine Defoe scored an absolute belter at the weekend, but they were lucky to get a draw from that in the end, with Palace missing that late penalty. I thought the 2-7 on Man U was perfectly fine here, but they're going to have to obviously plan for this game a little more differently than they did on Sunday.
Yeah, they are. I don't know what's wrong with United. I mean, the manager apart. I look at the team sheet, you know, and I don't see anything there that scares anybody. You know, these are players that wouldn't be first choice, I don't think, for... Name a player in that Man United side that would be a first choice for, say, Chelsea, even Liverpool, Man City. I don't see anybody. They've got a striker who's looking an absolute chump at the moment. They've got a defence which is, you know, not great. And the midfielder seem to me journeyman players. I don't see anything to be scared of in that United team. And 2-7. Okay, Bournemouth are no great shakes, but they're putting together a head of steam at the moment. And with a two-goal start, the 10-11, I like a look at that, you know.
Okay, so Bournemouth to maybe upset the apple cart a bit. Maybe if they don't get all 3 points, you think that it's priced up that they could actually do something here.
Well, yeah, you know what? I think that the way United are at the moment, if they were to be winning 1-0 with 60 minutes to go, I'm not sure Mourinho will be telling them to go out and search for a second goal. Because, you know, they need some confidence after what's happened, especially at the weekend. That was a shocking performance by them at the weekend. They were absolutely outclassed in the Manchester derby. You know, and this is Man United. I think there's something wrong at that club. And I've got a feeling the players are becoming disenchanted with their manager. It's only my suspicion that, and I might turn out to be absolutely nonsense, as most of mine are. But I'm we're talking hard cash here, and there's no way Man United at 2-7 be getting a red sense of it. Bournemouth are putting together, as I say, that there's something to like about Bournemouth right now. I was prepared to write them off earlier in the season, and I thought the manager was getting a very easy ride. But they're turning it round, and they don't get mullered by anyone, Bournemouth. Two-goal start against a weak United side at 10-11. Yeah, I'll be having some of that.
Okay, lovely stuff. Andy XL's joined us. Good afternoon.
Morning, in from the frozen wastes.
I was going to say. Are you all right,
it's
Mr.
Cold, it's cold up north, you know.
It is, it's freezing. I was stood at the train station for 50 minutes this morning.
It's even colder when the heater on your car blows up.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, Derek's done all your work, so...
it's an easy one for you, Andy, that.
I was going to join you with plus two Bournemouth.
Okay.
Really? Yes, yeah. Mediocre minds think alike.
I was. The stat behind it, they've only lost by more than one twice this season, Bournemouth. And they lost 3-0 to Arsenal, and they lost 2-0 to Watford in one of the first games of the season. So,
okay,
plus two there, looks all right.
Worth a look at a pretty tasty price, actually. 10-11, Bournemouth plus two goals in that one. Right, Mr. McGovern, we'll let you go. Myself and Mr. XL will comb through some of the fixtures. We don't have naps, obviously. Dev Kellner's stressed this to me because I think you had a winner last midweek and he didn't want it to count.
Yes, I know.
So this is unofficial, but what would your best bet be?
I think my best bet would be Watford to beat Palace, 23-10.
All right, lovely stuff. Thank you, Derek. We'll speak to you soon.
Okay, lads, good day to both of you.
Thank you.
See you, Derek.
Derek's gone then. Myself and Mr. XL left. Now, we've already been through the five games that we were going to talk about. We'll quickly spin through them and see what you fancy in them. The televised game, Huddersfield-Chelsea. Derek was... He's not a Huddersfield fan, let's say that much.
No, well, he put Brighton up against them at the week and I warned him off it on the basis that they're a different team at home than they are away. And so you can say the same about this game as well. And if Chelsea were apparently tired at the weekend... Well, are they going to make a miraculous recovery for a trip to Huddersfield midweek when pretty much they, you know, they feel fairly confident about getting a Champions League place, but they're not going to win the league. So, so how motivated are they for an away midweek game in the frozen north, as I've just referred to it? So, you know, I've kind of changed my mind. Before the weekend, I would have been with Chelsea, and now I think I might be with Huddersfield.
They are very short, Chelsea. You'd kind of want no... possible question marks over them, and at 4-11 you're kind of thinking, well, because there are some shorties this weekend, and I think it's probably better shorties than than Chelsea. What about the other televised game, West Ham Arsenal? It was West Ham for Derek, which he was almost surprised. He surprised himself in tipping that. But on the face of it, I think Arsenal will go here and possibly, not steamroller them, but a performance as we saw last year when they went and won 5-1 there. But then you look at the price, and 8-13 is way, way too short for a side with a bit of a soft centre.
It's pretty short, but as an Arsenal fan, I'll know that West Ham are one of our best teams to play. We've got an absolutely terrific record against them. One stat I would throw up in here is both teams are susceptible to getting red cards. So I think there's been 28 between the two teams in their last 106 Premier League games. There's been 28 red cards.
Not bad.
So
not good either. But
yeah. So actually, I think it's more than that. It's 38. Sorry, apologies. It's 38 in the last 106. So if you were looking to put your odds bet together. Look at something like that, throw that in, that might help you put something together. But I'm going to be with Arsenal here.
Okay. We mentioned that Watford was one of Derek's best bets. They're away at Palace on Tuesday night. It's a tricky one to call this, but I just don't understand how Palace can be 5-4. Yes, they're on a decent little run of not losing games, but they're not winning them either.
No, unbeaten in the last six at home, four draws in the last five, though. To me, this says draw all over it again. So I know we don't have naps midweek, but me and Derek might be fighting each other here because I might be putting the draw up as my nap of the week because I just can't see anything but a draw, to be honest.
12-5 the draw in the Palace-Watford game. Newcastle-Everton was the other game that we mentioned. Obviously, we've heard your thoughts on Manu Bournemouth. Newcastle-Everton, Derek didn't really have any strong view. He put the draw up in the end because, in his words, you couldn't back Everton, you couldn't really back Newcastle either.
Yeah, well, I bet he doesn't want to talk about Everton after the weekend. Everton have got a very good record against Newcastle. I think they've won 7 of the last 9 meetings. So, again, if you're looking at that sort of thing and the way they played at the weekend, there certainly seems to be a lot more belief in the current manager than the previous one. So I might go with Everton here.
Okay, 21-10. Certainly, speaking as a Newcastle fan, I wouldn't be jumping on us at 7-5, but at the same time, it's a game that you look at and you go, oh, we could win that feasibly. Whether we deserve to be favourites or not, not entirely sure.
I think you've been missing three players. Atsu got some time at the weekend, I think.
He did, he came on.
Lascelles was on the bench, but still not back.
I think he'll play on Wednesday, and you'd think that Jonjo Shelvey would be shoehorned in somewhere. He didn't come on at all at the weekend. So there's a lot of wait and see on team news. Paul Dummett's coming back from injury as well, although he's not a leading light. He's steady enough.
Yeah, but he's important. Yeah. And I think that's the thing with Newcastle at the moment. You've almost got to wait till the team news comes out before you get involved.
Interesting, though. With that one, Everton for Andy at 21-10. There are plenty of shorties, particularly on Wednesday night. We alluded to it there. If you fancy Man City away at Swansea at 2-9, Liverpool at home to West Brom at 2-9, Man U at home to Bournemouth at 2-7, and Tottenham at home to Brighton at 4s on, that treble is coming out at 1.4-1. Well, there's worse fourfolds I've seen.
No, and we'll have our fingers crossed that one of them gets beat, because otherwise it's going to be a punter-friendly midweek and I'm looking for a Christmas bonus.
Yeah, it's of those, who do you think's the most risky? I don't think Liverpool should be the same price as Man City. Liverpool at home to West Brom, Man City away at Swansea.
No, Liverpool have a bit of a record against teams that go there and try and shut up shop as well. So, yeah, you would worry about them on that basis. And also, just worry about United. After, like Derek was saying there, and I said in the preview to the game at the midweek, if he goes and tries to shut up shop and nick a win and loses, you're 11 points behind your main competitor in your own city. How do the fans take that?
Yeah, exactly. The other game on Wednesday night that we haven't mentioned is Southampton-Leicester. Southampton are 23-10, the draw 12-5, and Leicester 13-5. And on Tuesday night, the other game that we didn't mention, Burnley-Stoke. Burnley 13-10, the draw 11-5, and Stoke 12-5. I know that we're not having naps, but if I was going to have one, Burnley at 13-10, I mean, their home record's just been superb. Not just this season, last season as well. And Stoke are shipping goals left, right and centre. Burnley win so many games at home 1-0, which for the record is 11-2 in that one. But I think Burnley would probably be my One of my better bets of the week.
Not bad. Anything anti-Stoke is a good way to go at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. There they are. They are struggling. Remains to be seen how long Mark Hughes has got left in charge of the Potters, I should say. So, if you were looking for a best bet, you'd be going with the draw in the Palace Watford game.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting stuff. Well, thank you very much, Mr. XL.
Okay, pleasure.
On Thursday, it'll be me in the presenter's chair once again with yourself and Derek, and we'll have an FWA guest on as well. We'll be hearing from Pete and Gav and Al on the Football League action, Sam Norris on the European football. So make sure you join us on Thursday. But good luck with your bets this midweek in the Premier League, and we'll speak to you very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.